For just a few minutes this morning, I want to speak to you on a very important subject. I want to talk to you about the role of the local church in our changing religious landscape. There is a shift going on in our nation, and it concerns local churches throughout America. This past Wednesday night, I spoke a little about the role of the local church, and I mentioned that there is a global, universal church. Everybody on the planet who's ever believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and has become a member of the body of Christ and have connected with a local church wherever in the world they may be. But then there are hundreds of thousands of expressions all over the planet of God's family, and we know them to be the local church. I'm grateful to be a part of a local church. This past Wednesday night, I gave you the definition in the Greek language for this famous verse of Scripture where Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church." And Jesus said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." What it literally means in the Greek language is this. Jesus said, "I will build my church. I will construct my church. I will confirm my church. I will edify my church. I will empower my church. And the governing forces of hell shall never overpower my church." Now that's what Jesus said about us, his church. 2,000 years since he said it have come and gone, and the local church has never become a relic of a bygone era. The local church is still, with all of its flaws and imperfections, the local church is still God's plan A. He instituted the church. And we get together locally, like we are this morning, and we take on a corporate level of worship, and we enjoy a corporate anointing. Because I brought a measure of the Spirit of God here this morning when I came. You brought with you when you came into this sanctuary this morning a measure of the Spirit of God. Because the Holy Spirit indwells believers. We take the Spirit of God wherever we go. And when you get a few hundred believers together and each of us brought our measure of anointing, our measure of the Holy Spirit, we get together corporately like this, then it's easy to hear from God and to receive from God. I'm a local church believer. I agree with Bill Hybels from the Willow Creek Church, who said, "The local church is the hope of the world." I believe the entire world, even the most desperate of people on the planet, need what the local church has. God has sanctioned the local church, and we're blessed to be members of a local church. Sadly, here's what's happening with America's changing religious landscape. Many people are giving up on the local church. Many people who used to be members of churches, no longer are. Many still claim to be a member, but they're not faithful. They are not present. And that's always funny to me. As a pastor, I get a little chuckle out of it. Oh, it's happened more than once. Somebody would come up to me somewhere in Florence, around town, and introduce themselves to me and say, "Yeah, I'm a member of your church." I said, oh, really? And in conversation, quickly find out they visited two or three times 8 years ago. But if anybody asked them, where are you a member of a church? They would say Abundant Life. So that's amusing to a pastor somewhat. But listen to the Pew Research Center polls. This is a reputable pollster. In fact, most polls we see come from just a few hundred people who were polled. This poll represents 35,000 adult Americans all over the country. And these numbers were just released in the last week from the Pew Research Center. The United States is a significantly less Christian nation than it was 7 years ago. 7 years ago, when adults were asked if they were Christian, 78% of American adults said yes. That was 7 years ago. But today, only 70% of American adults will answer yes to that question, are you a Christian? Atheists and agnostics have nearly doubled in America in the last 7 years. And this is shocking. For every one new convert to Christianity, 4 former faithful church members leave their local church. For every one new believer, 4 disengage and give up on the church. Now, we are living in a nation with a changing religious landscape, and we need to revisit the fundamental truth of the role of the local church. We have our work cut out for us. Now, and don't get me wrong, we're not legalists. We don't want anybody in bondage. We enjoy the liberty of the Spirit. You should not be here by duty. That should not be the attraction that brings you to church, either this church or any church. We need to be right in our spirit and pure in our heart toward our commitment to God and to a local church. And we have no bondage to force on anybody. We are not a cult. Ooh. Now, let me be sure about this. If any of you are here today by force or by coercion, blink and let somebody know. Because somebody will deliver you and set you free. But it's for whosoever will. If you love God and want to identify with us as a local church, you are so very welcome. And we are not legalistic on that point. And by that, this is what I mean. We understand even when you're faithful to a local church, even when you are absolutely faithful to your church, there will be times when you are on vacation and will miss service. Well, we certainly agree with that. I'm going to do that 2 Sundays this year myself. We also understand that there are times you may want to take a weekend and go to the beach or the lake or to a Clemson ball game or the Gamecocks. We understand. No judgment against you. We even understand there may be Sunday mornings you get up and you're sick and just don't feel like coming to church. We understand. No judgment. We have no condemnation for anybody. We don't judge. This is a judgment-free zone. We even understand. Talk about being gracious and completely understand. We understand every now and then, just wake up in a bad mood and just say, you know, Sunday morning at 8:30, I am going to roll over and sleep a little while longer. I am not going today. We totally get it. No judgment. None. Keep your heart right in all of that. But we are not legalists. However, we should not cross any lines and detach from a local church where God has called us and set us and where we've made a commitment to serve God and to grow and mature in the Spirit. And many today are doing that. Now, I ran into a man on the street, and he had come to our church for a while, and then I hadn't seen him for a while. I called him, didn't run into on the street. I called him, said, "Haven't seen you in several weeks. I was just calling to check, see how you and your wife are doing." And he said this to me, "Pastor, honestly, we missed a Sunday or two, and then it became easy. We missed the third one, and then it just got so easy until, you know, honestly, we're not offended with anybody. We love everybody. We're not upset, but we're just lazy." And I thought, thank God for honest people. I mean, I'd much rather people be honest, even if I understand you're lazy. Not, you can go to heaven lazy. But I thought, how refreshing that somebody would just tell me the truth. Rather than when I run into people that haven't been in church for a while, they're so awkward around me. They apologize up one side and make up excuses. They're stretching for some excuse. And I just want to say, just tell me you're lazy. Just tell me you're out of the habit and, you know, it's just easy to stay. Just tell. You can be honest. I appreciate honesty. Here's the definition of a local church, and I'm grateful to be a part of a wonderful local church. The local church is a group of people in committed relationships who congregate together for worship, training, and fellowship. We get together for worship, for training, and for fellowship. And I'm just going to tell you this principle. You will get out of your experience with a local church no more than what you put in. When you got up this morning and got dressed and got in your car and drove here, what was your expectation level? I'll tell you what it should be. It should be what Esther Gillespie's is. And God bless her. She's 84. We just buried her son, Tommy, who was 56 two or three weeks ago. And Esther is not physically able to come. Oh, and by the way, we have members of our church that are not able to come. But they're still connected to the body. They understand the value. They will call and check in. They will call and give me or Pastor Steve a word to encourage us. They will somehow stay in. We know. Hey, I know when I'm somebody's pastor. And I know when I'm not. But Esther Gillespie was in intensive care a year or so ago. I went up to visit her because she's a member of this church. I mean, she's not been in a few years. She physically cannot get here. She's in a wheelchair all the time. And I went up to visit her, and my prayer on the way in was, Lord, help me to encourage Miss Esther. Help me to be a blessing to her. Lord, help me to make her day brighter today. Give me something to give to her. But she blessed my socks off. I'm the one that was blessed. She was lying there in that hospital bed in intensive care. And when I got in the room, she ministered to me for about 30 minutes. She said, oh, let me tell you. I miss attending the services because every time I ever went to Abundant Life Church, I always left filled. And I thought, now there's a woman who drives to church when she was able, with a great faith working. She said, I've never had an exception. Every time I've ever gone to church, I've always left filled. Now, that's what the local church can provide. Now, you need more than just a corporate experience with God once a week. You need a personal experience every day. And you need to be in personal revival. I'm talking to the mature this morning. If you are not in personal revival with God on a daily basis, there's only one reason. Because you're willing to live without it. So I'm not saying now that the local church is all you need. But I am saying it is a blessing to be a member of the body of Christ. And the church is the body of Christ. The church is God's plan A. And he said, I'm going to build, construct, confirm, edify, and empower my church. And all the governing forces in hell will never overpower my church. That's what he said. And everybody needs to know where home is. There are some Christians out there that are not a member of any one church, and when they want to go to church, they will visit. And that's okay. People are searching, and searching is an honorable thing. But it's easy to hear from God. And when you're floating, you're not accountable. You are not a blessing as much as you could be if you were faithful where God calls you. And I believe God calls everybody to a specific church. Now, I know seasons change, and you may not stay in the same church all your life. And when you do make a change from one church to another, and by the way, the Lord says none of you need to. The Lord says if you're here today, you're in the right place. No, now the Lord didn't say that. It would be fine with me, but that wasn't the Lord, that was just me. That's just how welcome you are. But if and when you do change churches, it should be a matter of serious prayer. Don't ever leave a church offended. Don't ever leave a church and speak badly about that church. I'll tell you what, you're talking about the body of Christ. That's so unnecessary. And if you're offended and hurt in a local church, if you leave that church because of a wound, you are not going to find healing as quickly as if you would stay here until your healing comes. Everybody deserves to be healed. Some people leave with an offense, either with me and God. I've offended some people. I didn't mean to do it. I love everybody. Last thing I'd want to do is offend somebody, but it has happened. And I'm sorry. I will apologize if I've offended anybody. I'll be quick to say, oh, let's make this right. I mean, let's walk this out. Let's both be mature enough to own what we need to own and enjoy the grace of God that covers all of us. Some people like the Pew Research poll is showing, some people in America have disengaged completely from the local church. They've given up on the local church. Now, they have not backslidden. They will still say, Jesus is my Lord, and he is. And they will still know, if I die right now, I'll go to heaven. And they're right. But they've disconnected from the body of Christ. And their statement is this: I don't need to be a faithful member of a church in order to go to heaven. And that's true. That's true. You don't go to heaven based on church membership in any local church. You go to heaven because you know God through His Son Jesus, and you've accepted Him as your Lord, and you've trusted Him to forgive your sin. That's the only way you get to heaven. So no, you don't need to be a member of a church and be faithful to a church to go to heaven. But if you really love the Lord, you realize He's the head of the church, and you have a desire to fellowship with His body. You can go to heaven without it, but there is a greater blessing for you if you're plugged in and connected and faithful as a member in the body of Christ. And when you're not in your place in a local church, you're denying that church of some blessings that you would bring to the church. We miss your fellowship. We suffer when your anointing is not in the house with the rest of us. So there is a selfish side to the mindset that I don't need to be faithful to a church in order to go to heaven. Well, don't think about yourself. Think about the church and the suffering that the church will go through when one member is out of place. I'm preaching real good. And nobody here needs it. Only those who are not here and listening to the podcast will need this, because you are in church this morning. Hey, listen, a believer who loves God and understands and discerns the body of Christ, realizing that the church is the Lord's body, will look at it like this. No, we don't have to go to church. We get to go to church. Don't have to. We get to. Hebrews 10:25 says, forget not to assemble yourself together, as is the manner of some. And the writer of Hebrews goes on to say right then, especially in the day we're living in, where evil is increasing and the Lord's return is getting closer, especially in a day like today, don't forget to assemble together. Now, there are some who have given up on church, detached from any local church, and they will say, well, I don't need the church. I don't need to be faithful to a church. I'm spiritual. Me and Jesus, we got it. And that's true. I'm not going to argue that point. But I will tell you what the Word says. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So now, if you break away from fellowshipping with the body of Christ and go it alone, like some are in America today, you're not walking in all the light that's available. And perhaps you may be walking in some darkness, because the Word of God is the truth. And the Word of God says, if we walk in the light, we will have fellowship one with another. Now, how do you know if you're in the right local church? How do you know if you're in the right local church? By the way, there is the right local church for every believer. I believe it. I'll tell you one way to know. Jesus gave the shepherd principle. I'll read it to you. We'll flash it on the screen. In John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's powerful right there. Not only does it work for Jesus being the great shepherd, but the principle is the same even with a local pastor as an under-shepherd. The sheep that God has assigned to this local church will hear my voice and Pastor Steve's voice. If you have been attending this church for 3 months or 6 months and you've never heard God speak to you when we speak, you might be in the wrong church. Every believer deserves to be in the right place. God has a right place. We have helped people. It's funny. We've helped people. When they've come to us with a real right spirit and say, you know, I just don't fit. I don't think I'm looking for something else. And then we ask them a few questions and we refer them to a church that might be a better. Because every believer, I fully am. But if you don't hear God speak when I speak, you might be in the wrong church. Now, don't let the litmus test be any one single service, because sometimes I have a bad day. Another litmus test. Are you being fed? And if you're applying yourself now, you've got something. But if you're applying yourself, can you grow here? Can you spiritually mature in this place? Do you hear from God when you're here? And if not, that could be a sign that you may not be in the right place. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And that principle works for pastors at a lower level. Please don't misunderstand. I'm not the great shepherd. I'm only one under shepherd. Jesus was the only great shepherd. But the principle of shepherding he gave us here, and if you belong to this church, you will hear my voice, you will hear God speak when I speak, not all the time. I can't blame him for everything I say. And I will know if you are a sheep here in the sheepfold. Another, do you agree with the vision of the local church? Every member should agree with the vision of the local church. And everything we do and have done for 29 years almost as a local church has been to reach a generation of people here, equip them, mature them, develop them spiritually, and encourage them to play a part in reaching the nations of the world. If you do not believe in world missions, then you might be in the wrong church, because that excites us around here. We love the thought that I can't start 6 churches in another nation this year, and neither can you. But all of us together can help Brian do that. And we celebrate that. And that's just one. We also have churches in India. I'm leaving 2 weeks from today to go back to Latvia. I will preach in Abundant Life Church, Latvia, in a city of Liepāja on the coast of the Baltic Sea. My wife and I, our family, lived in that city for a year. You folks sent us for a year. That's unheard of, that a church would send their pastor to the other side of the world for a year to start a church over there. But you did, and that changed the vision of our church. When we got back, we knew God was calling us to impact the nations of the world. And, you know, it takes all of us together to accomplish anything for God at that level. Now listen, 1 Corinthians 12:18 says, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. So I'm just telling you what God's word says about your membership. Every member should take his assignment to the local church seriously. Because God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. Now, I'm happy you're here. I'm happy. I look around this room, I'm happy with everybody here today. Everybody. But your being placed here was not my decision. I'm pleased that you are. But God is the one who looked at an individual member. Each one of us. And he said, this... He looked at me and said, this is a particular member. One translation says we're all members in particular. I can imagine God putting me under the mic. Oh, he's a particular. I'm gonna be so pleased to set him in this body right there. By the way, here's a faithful man. I mean, faithful. Open up the dictionary for faithful and his picture's right there. I don't mean to embarrass you. But I mean, God was pleased to set Travis in the body right where he is. And Sandra. And what a difference they have made in the world by being in their place. They've made more of a difference than you can see inside these four walls. But the nations we are affecting and impacting, they play a part because of their faithfulness. Every believer should celebrate their assignment to a local church. I believe God has a particular place for every member. Now, seasons change, and just because you're in one place in one season may not mean you're in that place in every season. And in fact, the truth is, not every church is in the same season. Not every member is in the same season. But how wonderful it is to know. What a blessing this couple is. Lord, you're new here. Did you know the Lord is pleased to set you among us? I mean, what a blessing. Ooh, y'all are. I mean, we would miss a blessing if you were out of place. My, my. I wish I could walk up to every one of you and personally communicate to every one of you that you should know where your place is in the body, and you should celebrate the fact that God was pleased to set you there as an assignment. And you should celebrate that. Not just pastors. I know I'm sent here. I know that, and I'm so grateful. I look at you and I thank God every day. Lord, thank you for assigning me to be a part of a great church that is changing the world. I don't know of another church our size that does more to change the world. And we do it through a sharp, focused vision that says to us, if the vision of this church does not include the whole world, then the vision of this church is too small. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. The local church is a place where we can belong. Some people just need to know they have a place to belong. And then we can connect. And then we partner together to do great things for the kingdom. Now, I'm behind. I'm going to catch up quick. And then go home and take a nap. No, I'm going to take a nap first. And then eat. Ephesians 4. Listen to what Jesus gave the church. Beginning in verse 11. Some rich scripture here now. And the Lord wants all of this to come to pass in each of our lives. Look at all the Lord has for us as we mature as believers in the church. Verse 11 of Ephesians 4, and he, Jesus, himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, these are commonly called the fivefold offices of ministry. But that's a pseudo-glorified term. I don't really like it all that much. I do like this better. It is called in theologian circles, and some all of you know, the ascension gifts. Now, these are gifts God gave the church. Now, these are specific gifts God gave the church, but they're not the only gifts God gave. There are other lists and categories of gifts God gave the church listed elsewhere in Scripture. But these are the ascension gifts, because the verse right earlier said that when he ascended up on high, he gave these gifts to the church. So pastors and apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers are gifts to the church. Jesus gave them. He gave these gifts from a place of high ascension. So I am a pastor, and a pastor is a gift to the church. Not the only one. Now, you are a gift too. You perhaps are in a different list. They're in there. Many gifts. We'll talk about that maybe some other time. But an apostle. An apostle is a spiritual father who can strengthen the hand of others in ministry. An apostle is someone that God sets in the body. And an apostle can start churches easily or strengthen churches that are already established just by speaking into that. Now, this church is an apostolic church. We have given oversight to many other churches. And in fact, I'll tell you when it happened. I was just a pastor. That's all I was, as a pastor, until about, 15, 17 years ago when Christian Life School of Theology became a part of our church. And I thought, and this is what it was, is we were 12 years a campus of Christian Life School of Theology, and I thought, well, if we've got five or six people in the church that would be interested in this, that would be great. But lo and behold, we had like 45 pastors the first month. And before it was over, 65, 70 pastors that would drive from an hour. And they were all wanting to get a higher degree in theology. They wanted Bible college teaching. And we had the professors fly in here and spend 10 hours once a month. One weekend a month, this became a Bible college. And lo and behold, dozens and dozens of pastors. That changed us from being simply pastoral to apostolic. Now all these pastors were coming here for training. And even to this day, they stay in touch with Pastor Steve or myself. And not only that, but we find it easy. Hey, we can help start churches. We've done it over and over. We can tell you what not to do. So Jesus gave apostles as a gift to the church. And prophets. Now, a prophet can hear the word of the Lord and speak it. We make room for the prophetic here. And, sometimes it may be spoken forth corporately. Sometimes somebody may have a word just for you privately. And that's the way it happens to me. Sometimes somebody will give me, and sometimes they don't even know. God has just spoken through them to me. But I have been praying about that and needing an answer. And thank you, God, this person prophetically just gave me a word from heaven that I needed, and in some cases they weren't even aware of it. And then some evangelists. Now, evangelist in its purest, most powerful form is to go and preach the gospel, go and preach the good news. But you don't have to be a big crusade television evangelist to be a gift of an evangelist. It's just tell the good news to somebody. We think of an evangelist as a revivalist, and thank God some of them are. But an evangelist just goes and tells somebody the good news. And then pastors, we are shepherds. And I was speaking to a pastor's gathering not long ago. And nobody but pastors there. And I told them I know this about pastoring because I am a pastor. Every pastor should be able to say this. If you cannot say this, you're not a pastor. But if you're a pastor, you can say this. and really every believer should be able to say this, but a pastor for sure. I am at my best when I'm helping others get through their worst. Now, every pastor should have that ring true. I am at my best when I'm helping others get through their worst. That's what a pastor does. And then the gift of a teacher, somebody who will go on an archaeological dig in Scripture. Find two or three verses and dig for the gold. I mean, mine the gems out of the Word and apply it first to themselves and then get so excited at the opportunity to give away what God has freely given them. So these are some gifts. Verse 12 tells us why God gave the church these gifts: for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. This includes every single person. For the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children. I mean, God has given the church, even this local church, everything we need for maturity, that we no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Now, that's not referring to false doctrine. That's referring to true doctrine. But every time a doctrine, a scriptural biblical doctrine, is being restored to the global church and the Spirit of God puts emphasis on it, it tends to surface with extreme. There's not a balance to it. It takes a while, and it takes the maturity of a local church to find the balance. I could give you some examples. And I'm off script here, and I'm careful when I'm off script, because but back in the 40s and 50s, the Spirit of God was renewing the power of healing, the gift of healing to the church. And healing evangelists like Oral Roberts and others surfaced and were blessings to the planet. And it was God doing a thing. It was the healing revival. But some in the early days of that revival were extreme and literally started preaching. Now the gift of healing and the doctrine of healing is a true doctrine. But some were tossed to and fro with that true doctrine and carried about to the extreme. Some actually preached, if you're sick and not healed, you got sin in your life. You don't even know Jesus. Well, now that's not true. What was happening there? A true doctrine, out of balance, not rightly divided, was tossing to and fro some believers and literally bringing condemnation to some when they didn't deserve that. So it takes the corporate body of Christ and all the gifts Jesus gave the church to sort through some of the extremes so that we will grow up and mature and reach the place of perfect stature, the fullness of Christ, no longer children, but a fully grown spiritual man, not being tossed to and fro by winds of doctrine. Another doctrine that when it surfaced, and it was a great movement, and it's a true doctrine, the doctrine of tongues. Is it in the Bible? Yes. But in the charismatic movement, tongues and other charismata gifts of the Spirit were being restored. It was like God emphasizing the return to the church of powerful gifts of the Spirit, including tongues. Well, it's biblical, it's doctrinal. But in some of the raw early days of that charismatic movement, some people were carried about to the extreme. They were tossed to and fro. Wasn't a false doctrine, it was a true doctrine. But it was not rightly divided, and it was extreme. So some people literally preached, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. So there was not any godly balance there. So God is saying his plan for the church, and he's given all the gifts to the church so that the church will one day stand up in full stature as a perfect man in Christ, fully mature, in perfect unity, and no longer tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of even a true doctrine. Well, you can search it out. You'll find out if you search that one out, I'm telling you the truth. It's not talking about false doctrine. It's talking about true biblical doctrine. Oh, my. Verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head. Now, there we are. We're the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. I love this right here. I've brought this out and given it to you before, but I love that verse right here. The whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Now look, I am a member. I am not a joint. I am a member. I am not a joint. We're held together by what every joint supplies. Pastor Steve is a member. He is not a joint. Come up here with me. I know it's embarrassing. I know you don't know what's coming.
No, I don't.
He is a member. He is not a joint. I am a member. I am not a joint. I am not held in the body by what I as a member supply. Neither is he. I'm a member. He's a member. Together we become a joint.
That's good.
And together we are held in the body by what we as a joint supply. You are not a joint. But together we are. And so God has a connection for every member of the body. So that when you find your place to connect and function, you are literally providing strength, edifying the whole body, but you're held in the body by what you and another member or two can provide. You make a joint. You plus one or more make a joint. And then God gets all over it and get involved, and we can do great things. Now, if you want to make a greater commitment to the local church, you can. How do you be faithful to a local church? Well, you do it by your attendance, your presence. You come to services. You're faithful as much as you can. Another is you give financially in your tithe and offerings. And all together, our gifts are put to work making a difference in the kingdom of God in many different nations. But also you can pray. Don't underestimate that. In fact, that's the starting point. I will close this message with this. If you want to make a greater commitment to the local church, which is the body of Christ, begin by praying for the church. I challenge you this week. If you want to take one step closer toward your commitment to the local church, pray for me this week. Pray for Steve this week. And pray for one another. Pray for the corporate church. I do that every day. I say, Father, thank you for your favor and your blessing on Abundant Life Church. Every man and woman, every child connected to our family of believers, would you pour out your richest blessings today? And sometimes when I see you, and so I just said this to a dozen people this morning, but when I see you during the week, I will say, I got a good feeling about you this week. I think your week is getting ready to get better. I mean, that's how I pray for you. So if you want to make a greater commitment to the church, start by praying more for the pastors and the members of the church. Would you stand with me, please? Everybody stand. You know, is it all right if, it's just a holiday weekend. Is it all right if I sing? Well, okay then. Give me a key, and you can sing along with this. It's just let's have a moment before we leave. And I'm not a good singer now, but it's in me, you know. This is the time I must sing, dear Lord. God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this song. I'm a part of the family of God. Can we do it one more time and maybe a little faster? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in His fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this song. I'm you give the Lord praise for being a part of His great family. Thank you for worshiping with us on a holiday weekend. Enjoy the rest of your day and have a great week. Pastor Steve speaks this Wednesday night at 7. I'll see you.